Season 2, Episode 14, A Murder with Teeth in It, opens with a murder, a pimp was stabbed to death. At least that's what it starts to look like when they show up to the apartment. It was a pimp that was stabbed to death.
So I gathered that they were in like a hotel that you rent nightly,
right? Yeah, it was like it's a place where people get prostitutes.
They like go to one room and there's like escort there.
An escort, a lady of the night.
A lady in red.
You have
a ton of shit on one of your cheeks.
Okay. Just to let everybody know, because I know one of the first rules of podcasts is don't eat on the air. I'm apologizing right now because we found some time to record and I'm eating dinner right now. And it's Chipotle and it's delicious. And I apologize if you hear some munching. But, Murder with Teeth in It. When they look at the body, at some point someone says it looks like he was stabbed with a shovel.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're trying to... It's almost like they were trying to just dig out the chest cavity, which comes back later. That's important. Andy goes hard on the hotel clerk, the guy running the desk.
He's my famous face.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no idea who that is.
He is in Deadwood.
He's in Deadwood?
And he plays Charlie Utter.
Hold on.
And he's fucking awesome in Deadwood as Charlie Utter.
Do you have his real name?
Dayton Callie, C-A-L-L-I-E.
Dayton Callie. Well, Dayton Callie, you just got a shout-out. Congratulations for being
in
Deadwood.
He's also in Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, shit. He's getting work.
He's from Scotland, though. Weird.
The guy does not know what happened in 42.
No, yeah. Well, he's not being cooperative enough.
Then they get another lady of the night, another lady of ill repute, and they're asking her about it.
Well, she was in the room.
Oh, that's right. She was. That's
no,
right.
No, no,
this
the,
is the
lady. They, so what happens is they take as they're going back to the station, they take the clerk.
Mm-hmm.
Tiplitz threatens them with cops, and he's like, "You're gonna have to tell your boss that why there's no business." Blah blah blah. And then as they're leaving, and there's a funny line there, because Sipowicz says, you know, when I find guys like these, it makes me, I always think that I was going to end up like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the clerk says, no offense, but you look like the type. That was like a really funny jab. So they get back to the hotel, or to the station, and they press the guy, and he gives up this lady, Rose. Or he gives her up at some point. Some point he gives her up, doesn't matter.
Yes.
So they go get Rose, who's this like older lady, this older black lady, who's a prostitute, and they're pressing her, and she doesn't have any idea. Well, she says she doesn't have any idea.
This is when the detectives do something that I don't know if I agree with. They sometimes do this throughout the show, and I think it's kind of messed up. And I know cops do this, and it's kind of makes me sad. They basically tell her, hey, if you don't help us out, we'll call child services on your kid.
Yeah.
And get him taken away.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
And that always feels like not a cool thing to do.
Yeah, because you're kind of fucking with people. That's their family, you know, and it's a tactic. I get it. But it's like, is it warranted? You know, like, she's already struggling enough that she's like 40 and she has to prostitute herself, you know?
And it's not like if she doesn't give up the information, if she gives up the information, she's in danger. And if she doesn't give up the information, she's in danger. Like,
yeah,
she's the one in the hard place, really.
Yeah. Well, we find out later that she really is, because she knows... Anyway, she knows who the killer is and a lot about him, so... And then I forget the sequence after that. Oh, this is when Donna also starts seeing her old hockey guy friend, right?
Yeah. That's right. She starts seeing Harold Ratansky.
Yeah, she has coffee with him. And they're old, like, fuck buddies... From back in the day,
when he was a hockey player
and married.
He was having an affair with Donna. And what's funny is, like, they go to have this lunch, and Ratansky is, like, the opposite of Greg Medavoy. Huge, brawn.
Tall, like, long flowing hair, fucking good looking and shit.
And I don't know, because I have a very limited knowledge of hockey players, but he 100% looked like a hockey player. Like, even in the face.
Yeah, he had, like, a square jaw. I don't, that's weird to describe him like that, but he was also big, though, too. Like, standing Like, he looked like he was way bigger than Donna, you know? Like, he kind of towered over her, and he was, like, kind of a buff guy, too. But, yeah, he was a good cast. They have some weird relationship. I don't get it.
But they basically have a lunch where—or they have coffee. It's not a full lunch. And he kind of sniffs around going, hey, so are you available? Because I'm not with my wife anymore, so it's not as bad. And she says, well, I'm in a relationship with a guy, so no, and just ends the meal. And Medavoy finds out about this lunch, and...
Oh, and he flips his shit.
He also bitches out really hard. Like, these are the episodes where I 100% agree with you, because he's like, oh, so you hung out with Rutansky. Oh, yeah, did he tell you a lot of stories about how he sits on the bench?
Oh, no, yeah. He says, I'm not trying to correct you, but he says... he talks to her and shit, and, like, he's being very, like, possessive, and she's just like, fucking chill out.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, he's like, fine, I'll chill out, but I'm gonna get one stab in, and he asks, like, oh, is he gonna open a bar? Is it gonna be one of those where he has, like, pictures of himself and, like, his jerseys up? And she's like, yeah, probably. He's like, oh, there's probably gonna be a lot of him on the bench. And then she just kind of like, okay, you're being a fucking child, which he is. But here's the thing, though. Like, later on, not to jump too far ahead, she has lunch with her sister, and I took away from that conversation that she was gonna fuck that Harold Lutansky guy.
Well, this is another thing that's strange. Also, Famous Face sister, Deborah Messing.
Yeah. Did we not talk about her last episode? I feel like, for some reason, we didn't talk about her.
Was she in last episode?
Yeah, because because Greg Medavoy hugs her at some time.
I think she's also in the next episode, too. That's why we think she's a two-parter, she's a twofer.
I took, like, away from that conversation that she was like, at some point I'm gonna fuck this dude.
Yeah, I don't know, because I am so far from the mind of women. She has a lunch with her sister that's kind of like, hey, Rutansky's back.
Yeah.
And they have this kind of conversation of, like, well, cards on the table, do you want to fuck Rutansky? Which, like, I guess that's okay, in a way, but, like, that's kind of messed up for Medavoy, even though he is kind of a bitch at this point with the Rutansky information.
Yeah, but, he's not doing himself any favors being, like, super creepy, you know? Like, it's just showing her that he's a weirdo and that maybe it's best for her to, like, get the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, and go back with this.
Because, I mean, not to fast forward too far, he does end up fucking, like, following her. He follows her when she goes to see her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has that comment, like, oh, did you think me and Rutansky were going to get together for an afternoon quickie? And she storms off and she's all pissed off.
Yeah, women don't really like it when you don't trust them.
No, you can, like, not trust them from afar, and, like, they'll, like, work with you on it and deal with it until it's like, hey, stop being a child. But, like, if you follow them, that's, like, fucking just creepy.
I don't... Well, yeah, I guess I agree with you there. I think it's... Because, once again, we're not women. There's this thing about, like, why do you have to check up on me? Don't you trust me? I think that was more prevalent than, it's creepy that you're following me, but I understand what you're saying. It is creepy that he just followed her. If he had sent, like, another car to go look for him, that would be just as bad, if not worse. But I think the issue was more that he didn't trust her to go to be alone or go out, because then she might be with that Rutansky guy, you know.
Fair enough. I agree with that.
And he might be, you know, putting it in her five hole. Hockey joke!
I agree with that. I could see that. I just feel like if that happened to me, I'd be like, that's fucking creepy.
So they bring in another pimp to talk about this other pimp that died. And his name was Silky.
Silky, yeah.
Rose wanted to leave Ricky for Silky, so it's a possible motive for Silky to kill Ricky.
But Silky didn't want none of her old ass.
And at one point it was kind of funny. I wrote down here, we got a homicide, Silky. Like, at some point they say that to him.
Uh-huh.
And I just felt that was a funny thing to say out loud.
It's because of the way he says it, too. It kind of felt very, like, 1950s-ish, you know? I don't know, that's the way, to me, it made me laugh.
They find out while talking to Ricky that the wounds were post-mortem to try and get the bullet out, and they did get the bullet out.
Yeah, that was like a little conversation with Martinez, right?
Mm-hmm. And it turns out...
Yeah, and they
turns out the bullet belongs to a cop.
Boom.
That means we got
some... Dun, dun, dun.
We got some sticky shit to deal with now.
And you know what that means?
We gotta get IAB in here.
Yeah, 100%.
But what's... As it turns out, the reason the cop shot him, I guess the cop and Ricky, or Silky, were running this game where the guy would pay the cop to give to the woman. Like, he would give him the money to give to the woman.
Yeah, he was just respected him because he was a police officer. So basically, he was giving him free pussy.
But as it turns out, the guy wasn't even paying the woman all the money that Silky was giving him. So he was ripping him off. And then,
he was ripping him off like $30.
So the woman ripped him off without consulting with the pimp.
Uh huh.
And
by drugging him.
Mm-hmm. And that's
slipped him a Mickey.
And that's what led to the shooting incident.
Yes. Well, then he did it happen right then and there? Did he come back?
Well, he came back to look for Silky. I think that was what was going on.
Yeah, he came back to look for Silky. Found Rose and knew Rose that knew Rose had an idea where Silky might be because they were like acquaintances. Because
Silky even said that he was lying low because of what happened.
Yeah, because the girl that was running the game with him, they sent him to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. They find out that it's a guy. They found out it's a specific guy from Silky named Jerry McCabe.
Yeah, then another bomb is dropped on Sipowicz because he knows this dude.
McCabe had helped Sipowicz out with an Andy Jr. dust-up.
A past episode.
And without his help, Andy Jr. would have had some marks on his record, which would not be cool for, anybody.
Well, weren't they arrested in him? Didn't he get arrested for supposedly selling, drugs?
He was arrested, but not processed.
Yeah, but that's what they thought, he was a dealer.
Mm-hmm. Turns out a dealer
that would have been good.
Yeah, a dealer looks just like him, and the guy, for some odd reason, picked up Andy Sipowicz Jr.
Yeah. So this guy helped him out and got him off and helped make sure his son didn't end up with a blemish on his record.
They bring in the hotel guy again, and they go hard on him because now they know that there was a gunshot.
They go hard on Silky, too, until he gives up that he's a cop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No, that's a long scene with Silky.
Yeah, that's a good scene. I like that scene.
Yeah, the guy who plays Silky does a good job. I wonder if I can get his name.
And then I also like the scene when they bring back the hotel clerk.
Yeah.
Him and Sipowicz were good together.
Because
he plays being really scared of Sipowicz good. Sorry, that didn't make sense.
Because these scenes are two characters that don't want to tell the whole story because they know the guy that they'd be ratting on is a cop.
No, I think they don't want to influence what they say. They're going in there going, we don't, like, that's why they keep saying don't worry about what you think you know. Is this the person you saw?
Mm-hmm.
Because they think, oh my god, if this is a cop and I rat on him, or I say, yeah, this is the man who shot that guy, they're gonna fight for him and I'm gonna be fucked.
Yeah.
And they're also saying, don't worry that we know he's a cop, is this the guy? And they do that a lot, but they're all very scared.
And by that point, Martens and his partner are already there. And now they have to observe the whole investigation. Because that's how it works with IAB.
They didn't let them see him talk to the hotel manager because there was no window.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, "How can we see?" And someone says, "Get a stepladder or stand on your tippy toes and peer through the little window up here." That dude, Silky's name is Cress Williams.
Mm-hmm. Did a good job.
He was in the TV show Heart of Dixie. For 4 years. He was in the movie Never Been Kissed. He was in Fallen with Denzel.
Well, yeah. Everybody's got a Denzel credit, right?
He was in Code Black, Friday Night Lights, Prison Break, Grey's Anatomy.
Holy shit.
ER, Veronica Mars. He did like 2 episodes on The West Wing.
Damn. Silky be working.
Yeah. Nash Bridges. Killing it on Nash Bridges.
At some point.
Living single. Are we done with Silky? he comes back later in another episode. I know that for sure.
I did right here when they talked to the hotel guy. They said, hey, did you hear a shot? And the guy's like, when? And he's like, last Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
man.
That one's good, too. Oh, my God. I like that.
And the clerk, I wrote here, the clerk drains the case because he said, it is that guy, and I know why. You want me to tell you if it is or not. And, the guy, and then Sipowicz is like, what are you talking about? And he's like, because he's a cop. And at some point with Silky, I wrote down the quote, don't read my mind for me. I think it's because Silky knows he's a cop, and he doesn't want to say and stuff like that. It's a good
scene.
Yeah,
that's what Sipowicz was saying. Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, yeah. Sipowicz was saying, don't think about that he's a cop. Like, anyways. It was good. Those two interrogation scenes were good. This was a really good episode. Because even when they bring that Jerry McCabe guy in, and he does his, like, little confession, and the talk and everything, and then it's like, that was really good, too. The actor did a really good job.
Well, it culminates in this scene where, because it's a cop, you have IAB, which is Martens and his partner, then you have the delegate, which represents the guy, then you have Simone and, was it Simone and Sipowicz, or just Sipowicz? It was Simone and Sipowicz.
It was both.
And they sit down, and they say, okay, well, is he going to talk to us? And the guy's like, no, he's declined to speak. So then Simone's like, let me tell you what we have. He's like, we have the pimp, we have the hotel clerk, we have the prostitute, we have the gun, we have this, we have that. If he goes to bat with this, he will not win. So then the delegate's like, can I talk to him alone then? And Sipowicz and Simone kind of have a conversation that's Sipowicz basically pouring out like, hey, this guy helped me. It's really messed up.
It's really bothering Sipowicz. Like, he really has, like, a moral dilemma with it.
Well, it's
like, he's still going to do his job, but it eats him up inside because he knows the guy's a good guy. But,
And he admits, like, if he didn't get help with his drinking, he may have been in the same exact situation.
Yeah.
So he's like, he not only feels for him, but he's like, man, I was only an inch away from doing the exact same thing, and now I'm gonna turn the screws on this guy, and it could have been me. And then the delegate comes out and says he only wants to talk to Sipowicz.
Yeah.
And that's a really great scene because I remember when I first watched it, I was like, oh man, he's gonna go in there and the guy's gonna be like crying and like losing it, and it's not. The guy is very, very like controlled, and he gives off this feel of like, I messed up really bad, and I just don't want to hurt my family.
I think the dude ultimately feels like really shitty.
Well, I mean, he should.
Like, he hit rock bottom and like everything's just fucked up. It's gonna ruin his whole family, but that's why they work out that deal, kind of.
When they get into the room together, he says to Andy, some jackpot, huh, Andy?
Yeah. That made me laugh. That made me think, like, they were super old-timey. Like, they'd known each other for, like if they'd known each other for a really long time, you know?
What they work out is, hey, I'll plead manslaughter if we keep the story out of the papers so that my family doesn't read about what I did.
Keeps his name out.
Yeah, they don't read.
I think there can be a story, but there's no name in it.
But Simone, there is one thing at the end of that. At the end of that conversation, the guy's like, "Well, how's Andy Jr.?" And he's like, and then Andy goes, "He's going into the Air Force." And there's that moment where like the guy realizes, not only did I fuck up, like Andy got it turned around, and now he's talking to his kid, and his kid is doing good things.
Yeah.
And it's so sad. It's such a good, sad scene.
Who was good. All the acting in this episode is really good. This is where I feel like they start to hit their stride, story-wise.
How
they get acting going, I think it's around this time.
Just because we're given props, the guy that played Jerry McCabe was John P. Connolly.
Oh.
He did a good job. John P. Connolly.
From the family of Connollys?
Is he related to Jennifer?
Maybe. Like an older brother.
He's got some great labyrinth swag. swag, Labyrinth swag. Actually, right before that scene, we have the scene with Donna and her sister. And I wrote down, because I didn't see this notes until we got there, Deborah Messing, her sister even asks, "What are you doing with Gregory?" And basically goes, "Hey, if you're gonna get on that hockey player, let me get that Medavoy goodness."
Yeah, it's really weird. I don't get it. Like,
and then they start fighting, and then it just goes back to talking. And I kept I was thinking like, I don't think dudes will like we talked about it before. Dudes don't go after each other's girlfriends very often.
Okay.
But I also don't think we would get into such like bloodless arguments and then just go back to like talking. Because they totally do that in this restaurant.
Oh, that's what sisters do, though.
That's weird, man. That's, like, crazy. Not to say women are crazy. Just, it is a little crazy.
that's kind of like a sister thing, like, I mean, unless it's something that's just been, like, Hollywoodized, and sisters really don't do that, but I've seen and know... like friends who like have arguments with their sisters like that and then go back to being normal. That's just how they deal with it.
Yeah. Women are strange. That's what we've learned.
So are men. Men are weirdos.
Also, like, they kind of work out the deal with McCabe, and one of them is that Sipowicz will be there to pick him up in the morning. Everything's approved to keep the name out of the papers. And Simone goes back to his love nest with Benita. I believe we see a little man ass.
Yeah, I just fast-forwarded through this shit.
But he talks to Benita about
the case. Until they got to the talking part.
just so NYPD Blue purists aren't going, "You didn't watch the episode, bro?" He's like, "No, I forwarded through the man ass."
Yeah, I just wasn't feeling it.
But he talks to Benita about McCabe.
Yeah, but he tells her a story, not in the sense of like being a police officer. He tells it in like a comfort, like looking for comfort kind of way, you know?
Mm-hmm. I just took a big ass bite of burrito. This is going to be like the point of the episode. Well, not the point. The point was McCabe and he killed it. And a little bit of Silky. But Simone tells a story about what happened to Benita. Then in the next morning's papers, there's a story about it.
Yeah, and so the way Sipowicz goes over to pick him up, and then, oh no, Sipowicz gets a call from, I think, his wife to go to the house. There was an accident, and he gets there, and the dude shot himself in his shower.
And what made that scene really, really sad, especially for me, is, like, his wife is like, "How bad is it? Is he going to be okay?"
Yeah, because Sipowicz does something really cool, and I think he calls in that he hurt, like, he's breathing, or, like, he got a pulse.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, he would have to sit in the house for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, that's not cool for
he basically
says, that's not cool for the family. So he lies, and then the guy's like, "What? He's dead." He's like, "No, we gotta get him out of here."
I think
that's when she says, "You're lying."
Which one? Oh, where she says, "Is he gonna be okay? Is he gonna be alright?
Yeah, and then Sipowicz kind of lies to her and says, "Yeah, he needs to go down to
the hospital."
Yeah.
He needs to get to a hospital. Well, the thing that happens is, like, Sipowicz goes into the bathroom, he sees what happens, and he sees the paper, and he's like, he turns into, like, warthog mode, where he's pissed off, and he's gonna be on the warpath. But then he comes out, and the MEs are like, "Okay, well, he's dead," and he's like, "No, you're gonna declare him dead in the..."
Yeah.
He's like, "You're gonna declare him dead on the ride to the hospital or at the hospital." And the guy's like, "Why are we going to do that? He's dead here." And he's like, "If you do that, he's going to sit in there for 2 hours while his family's sitting right outside."
I just said all this.
Yes. But the thing I was going to say was, he like has a mini fight with the medical examiner and basically says, "This guy deserves better than that. So you're just going to pick his ass up and you're going to put it in the car and you're going to drive him to the hospital." And then we get into that scene. I don't know why I felt it was important. I just had to say it for some stupid reason. Any hoozle.
Not only did you say it, you said it twice.
Any hoozle. If I did, then I'll just edit it out. They go back to the house, and the immediate discussion is who gave it to the papers. Who gave it to the papers?
Yeah, so, well, there's a funny scene where Martin's like, "I need to go call my boss." And then Sipowicz finds it in the papers, and he walks to the phone. And he tells, like, he points at the phone and he, like, gives a stern, like, hang up to Martens.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cuts to the scene, and my question is, do you think Martens hung up?
I don't know.
I think he did.
Well, that's the thing, the show goes on, IAB is not a very popular force in the show. But Martens is a cool guy. Martens is like, he's the one good guy at the shitty section of the show. Anytime IAB gets involved, everybody is immediately against it. But Martens is like the semi-voice of reason in all of it. So maybe he did hang
out. He's like the good guy of IAB.
And he always, like, it's so weird because they still treat him like shit. Even after he's been a nice guy for a while, they still treat him like garbage, and sometimes I think Sipowicz throws him a bone and throws him, like, a thank you or an attaboy. But most of the time, he's still treated like shit, even though if I was in the police station and Martens came in, I'd be like, at least it's Martens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they don't even do that.
No, they don't do that at all. And Simone immediately thinks it's his buddy Benita.
Yeah.
Which creates, you know, an issue.
Well, she says it isn't. They get into an argument, and then she's like, I didn't do it, I can't believe you don't trust me, and he's like, this just can't work. And then he goes to Andy,
yeah.
And he's like, I need to talk to you, but you're going to be mad, and he basically says, like, it was for me, I think. And Andy actually does something really mature, like, he gets really upset, but then he's like, he helps him. Like, he helps him get through it and, like, gives him advice. And I just thought the scene was good because Andy, instead of getting, like, super angry and wanting to lash out at him, takes a step back and chills for a second, you know?
Well, yeah, he's smart enough to realize that, because Simone says, I told her when we were, like, in bed, we were naked. I figured it wasn't on the record, as they would say. And all of a sudden, like, I see this in the papers, and I don't know if she did it. And when I ask her, she says she didn't do it.
So yeah, but then Andy goes, but you don't believe her.
Yeah. And another cool thing, like, Andy keeps his composure and he gives him advice. What's cool is he's like, look, she may have done it, she may not have done it, but don't tell anybody else this, because then she did it regardless. And you're the asshole. Like, if it gets around the office that this is what happened, even if she didn't do it, they're gonna think that she did it and it's your fault.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the really cool part, is he goes, hey, not only are you cool with me about this, even though it sucks, don't bring this to anybody else, because then it's going to suck for you way worse. Because then the entire office is going to be against you, not just yourself, against you.
People are going to whisper.
This also has the breakup of Abbandando and Gregory. She kind of pulls him into a room and goes, don't be a bitch, and then breaks up with him.
Yeah.
Does the episode end? Because I'm not sure. Does the episode end with Benita and Simone having that fight in the bed?
Yeah, I think so. They had the fight out in the hallway.
Where he's like, I can't believe you did it. And she's like, I didn't do it. And he's like, sure you didn't. And no, and she brings the contact information to the guy that wrote it. Call and ask him if I gave it to him. He's like, he would tell me the truth anyway.
And then Simone goes, well, where would he get it from? And she's like, he wouldn't tell me, and I don't expect him to.
And then at one point she said, you never said it's not on the record.
Yeah, but she, like, tries to slip it in.
Yeah, she says, you never said it was off the record. And, like, because it's ABC, they couldn't say this. But he's like, bitch, my dick was out. Like, we were intimate with each other. Like, this wasn't a business meeting. We were talking about how fucked up my day was.
I was just inside of you.
Or I was just in or about to be.
Yeah.
It was like, pre or post.
Yeah, come on now.
Oh, man. Good episode. Good episode of NYPD Blue. Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AsherBrothersPodcast.com or where podcasts are found, like iTunes and Stitcher. You can also find us indirectly through Mixed Bag of Hats if you want to go there, but you can always go to AsherBrothersPodcast.com. Kyle, is there anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, go see the movie Get Out.
Oh, I need to see it so bad. I need to see it. Fuck.
It's really good. That's all I'm going to say about it.
I'm kind of bummed because I watched Logan yesterday with some free time, and I think I may have just gone to see Get Out instead.
I thought Logan was good.
Logan is good, but I think that it's not going to be as good for me as Get Out would be. I mean,
I think they're completely different. It's just, I don't know.
Logan, I mean, I would have seen. They're going to, like, it's going to be somewhere for me to watch, like, on HBO or something. But Get Out, like, I don't know. I think everybody should see Get Out, and I want to see it really bad. But
yeah, Get Out, it was, I mean, the acting's really good. It's a really good script. There's a lot of, like, layers. It's pretty good. It was really good.
Alrighty, well, I've been Kirk, and thank you for listening. Watch NYPD Blue and be good to each other.
Fuck each other.
Yeah, or that.